Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash.
Rated R Wrestling Podcast, non-stop action, interested, we got that, the Southwest Texan, they cruise, Greg, the Mark and Martez, they them dudes,
they go.
Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, non-stop action, interested, we got that, the Southwest Texan, they cruise,
okay.
Greg, the Mark and Martez, they them dudes,
yo, it's your boy, they cruise, I'm out here making moves, see, how the hell can I lose when I'm the one that made the rules? All I see is the money, you can call this pay-per-view. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast is what we do. Let me introduce Greg, the Mark, and Martez. I run with winners, homie, I can't fail. You say you undefeated in a match, we gon' see. Open Talk Radio, The Flash 313. From WWE to NXT, all elite wrestling, we discuss these. We just trying to make a positive impact. We putting over every single wrestler who did that. Welcome to your death match.
Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Non-stop action, interested, we got that. The Southwest Texan, they cruise.
Yo, you know what day it is? It's Thursday evening, and it's time for the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313, coming to you live from the Open Talk Radio 313, The Flash. I'm your host, the Southwest Texan, Day-Day Cruz. I know I'm supposed to be taking a little time off, but today's officially my last show. Right now, I'm with my brother, Coco T. Ware, the interim co-host of the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313, brother Greg DeMarc. The interim host will be on
What's
in a little
up?
Bit. What's going on, brother Coco T?
What's happening, baby? This is the black man, Coco T. Ware, and I'm so excited, baby, to be tuning in as a co-host, filling in some gigantic shoes, baby, but I'm going to do my best. So happy to be on today, co-hosting with brother Greg DeMarc.
Oh, brother Greg ain't on yet. It's Southwest. It's Texan. It's Day-Day.
I'm here.
Oh, you're here? Oh, brother Greg, you're
I'm
on,
here,
you're
brother.
On. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. We all
yeah,
have
man, I talk him up. I talk him up. That's right.
Yeah,
come, brother
you
Greg. Welcome,
you couldn't
baby.
Resist
welcome.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, Day-Day couldn't resist a conversation with Madman Pondo, and I'm glad he couldn't because that's I know you've met Pondo, you kind of know him, but this is still an exciting interview to do, man. Being the,
oh,
you
yeah,
know,
for sure,
the
because I,
king of the
oh,
the Deathmatch 313 Wrestling Podcast, the, you know, the founder of
yeah,
the Deathmatch 313.
Yeah, Deathmatch 313 Wrestling Deathmatch Podcast 313. On YouTube, man, check it out. We got some matches from Madman Pondo, but not just that, man. Madman Pondo has done a lot of his career. He's 51 years old and still going strong. He's faced everybody from Schlack. He's faced Jimmy Lloyd. He's faced G. Raver. I mean, I could be wrong, but they have not G. Raver and Madman Pondo, but he's even faced some of Detroit's best in deathmatch. He faced Chuck Stein, Sean Longhorn, Peter B. Beautiful. And he even faced Congo Kong in Detroit, but Peter B. Beautiful ended up attacking his girlfriend, and he, you know, him and Congo Kong tried to get Peter B., but, I mean, long story short, Man Pondo's a GCW Hall of Famer, and he was just fresh off of the Talk is Jericho podcast, man, which I took a listen to, and he actually named Michigan's Old Horror Slam and Ohio's RPW, Ruthless Pro Wrestling, man, and in that interview, man, that's got to be an honor for them. But I mean, you know, just for the legend itself to name their promotions, you know, in on the Talk is Jericho, you know, that's nationwide. That's big time right there.
It's unbelievable how long Pondo's been around, and his earlier, you know, home area, a lot of it was here in this general area, and I'm more interested, like, who hasn't he faced? I want to know, who haven't you faced that you want to face? And I also want to know who around here was, you know, his favorite. Midwest.
But you know who? Master, you know who? No, you know who I want to say who's his favorites in the Midwest? I'm going to tell you this right now. And you know what I'm saying? Like I always say, I talk stuff, but this man is great. He endorsed MM3 and trying to get him booked over there where he's at, even in IWA or ICW. He trusted the process, man. That's one thing I can say. I mean, you should trust the process as great as MM3 is. I'm not even going to lie. I talk shit all the time about MM3.
This Friday, the match sponsored by the Rated R 313 Wrestling Podcast, MM3, Chase Burnett. It's going to be the match of the night. I don't give a fuck that Trey Miguel and Tommy Vendetta are on the same card. Mark my words. We sponsored this match because we expect it to be the match. And I expect it to be the match. I know it will be the match. And you're welcome, world.
Yes, you're very much welcome. And hopefully we can get that on the Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast and the Rated R Wrestling Podcast YouTube channels. But, man, yes, that's why, you know, this time that was Greg's doing on sponsoring the whole match. But and thank you for that, Brother Greg, and credit due to you because you know what MM3 brings to the table. Well, we both do. Well, we all do as Brother Coco knows what MM3 is all about. So, I mean, it's just, you know, a given to have us sponsor an MM3 match. Even Chase Barnett, such a great talent, up-and-comer. I don't see him on the indie scene very long, just as like I don't see MM3 on the indie scene very long.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Chase Barnett
you got
appeared for GCW.
No, yeah, I know that, but I'm saying, like, exactly. That's still like an independent promotion in the books of a lot of, or, you know, wrestling promotions, such as, you know, the bigger promotions, WWE, you know, whatnot.
I'd say on the indies, GCW's got to have the most eyes on them as far as, I mean, it depends how you look at Ring of Honor, but I got to say, per capita, GCW has more fans than any other promotion on the indies.
I totally agree with you.
Like Nolan Edward being there, and then you know countless others that we've seen get an opportunity. I think what it is a lot of the bigger promotions they don't have time to watch. It's like if somebody's not recommending it to them to like check out this dude in Detroit. MM3, he's third generation wrestler.
Right.
The guy can do it all. You know what I mean? If it ain't that, then you know I don't believe that there's really time to catch up on you know all of what AEW, GCW, Ring of Honor is doing. You kind of gotta you know generate a buzz and be in one of those places that a lot of people are talking about. You got to get your shit trending on social media these days.
For sure, and I'm surprised that match, either with MM3 and Trey Miguel, didn't make it, you know, viral, or him versus Austin Ace Austin for the X Division Championship. You know what I'm saying? I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet. Those are two of Impact's biggest stars. You got Trey Miguel, former Rascals, but, you know, he became a number one contender for the Impact World Heavyweight Championship. And then you got Ace Austin, former two-time youngest X Division champion in Impact's history, I want to say. He's only 20-something, early 20s, no older than 23 years old. And I'm surprised neither one of those matches made it viral where MM3's, you know, not signed yet. I would love to see MM3 signed to even Impact Wrestling. I can kind of see MM3 in like the NWA. I can see him going for that 10 pounds of gold. I can see him going for that national championship. You know what I'm saying? That those tag team titles because, I mean, his father is legendary in Michigan. His grandfather, they're the first family in Michigan in Michigan wrestling history. The Sweet Daddy Monroe actually worked with the Poffos back in IBW with the original Sheik. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of history behind MM3, not just his name and his legacy that he's led on since he stepped into the ring.
I was talking to DBA on Sunday, and he was telling me that he grew up in the Sheik's wrestling ring around. So
yeah.
Yeah, super cool, man.
And that's what I'm saying, like, you know, him growing up in the Sheik's ring meant that he shared a ring that was stepped on, not stepped on, but how do I say it? Their footwork was stepped on in that ring, the Poffos, you know what I'm saying? Lenny Poffo, the Macho Man, you know what I'm saying? Legacies on top of legacies. I mean, a lot of people don't know that when the territory was real, Michigan was one of the big, big times.
Absolutely.
I've heard it on, you know, the corny drive with Jim Cornette, dude. He talked about it about 2 weeks ago that how the Poffos were working in Detroit. He studied himself, the original Sheik, IBW, Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot more wrestling here in Detroit this coming weekend. We got Friday, obviously, the big Horror Slam event. And the big Rated R 313 Wrestling Podcast match with Horror Slam. And then Saturday, which actually I'll drop a little bit of news here that I just got myself. But Milan, Michigan at the American Legion. MPWA is doing a special fundraising event. And the special guest ring announcer for the evening is going to be Open Talk Radio's own Greg the Mark.
Greg the Mark from the Rated R Wrestling Podcast is going to be the special ring announcer. And, dude, I know you can do it, bro. You've been watching wrestling since before I was born.
You know, I was so flattered at the, you know, when I was offered the invitation, I was, you know, going to be there anyway. And I was like, hey, could you really help me out and do this for me? I'm like, abso-fucking-lutely. It's a bear
fuck,
shit
right?
In the woods.
Right, you know what I'm saying? It's hay for horses, motherfucker. No, but
you
yeah.
Know?
I'm excited for you, brother. I'm excited for you 100% because, I mean, we're brothers nonetheless. Whether we talk or not every day, I mean, but usually we do. So, I mean, you know, this podcast, it was after our friendship. So, I mean, I'm excited for you, man.
Yeah, and then Sunday is the Sweet Daddy and the Bug Memorial Picnic. It's by invite only. Me and the family will be attending, unfortunately. Day-Day can't have his little baby boy out there and his son. So you had to pass on this one, but you'll be there July 10th.
Yeah. And when he's old enough, man, believe me, we're going to be at those shows. And he's going to be raising that ring.
You
girl.
Will be.
I showed you.
I know where you will
huh?
be July 10th. I know where you will be July
oh,
10th.
You know where I will be July 10th, that's for sure. I will be at
oh,
Brother
where
Coco
are you
T's
be?
Birthday.
Oh, that's right, baby. I've been waiting to hear that. I was going to say it myself. July the 10th, baby. The Black Man Coco T. West 40th birthday bash in the Kayfabe backyard. And we going to debut Kayfabe the People's Band. And it's going to be on and popping, baby. It's going to be crack-a-lacking. It's going to be, let me tell you right now, the police going to have to come bang on our door and give us a ticket for pollution for all the fuck we going to be dispelling on our musical instruments, you feel what I'm saying? And let me tell you now, me and the Kalisa Kayfabe, Sensational One, the Queen, we was working hard, rehearsing last night on the music. So I'm here to tell y'all now, we going to give y'all the best service, the best music that you heard in a long time. And fellas, she cannot wait to put you to service to work. You've been promoted from peasants to service. So remember, you are on the clock, baby. It is going to be on your job. So be ready. But you're going to still have a fantastic time. I promise you that.
I can't wait. And I'm ready to become a servant from a peasant. Believe me, I've been telling Greg that since day one, since you announced that to me, brother. And I'm glad that Kalisa Kayfabe, she's done, you know, look past us being peasants and taking us into servants. I really appreciate that from her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be a thrill ride. I got all my cousins and all of them, my friends and family. They don't know what they're going to be getting into. But when we step foot on that stage, baby, when we step foot in that backyard, it's going to turn into a whole experience, you feel what I'm saying? And we go kick some booty out there. It's going to be some more music played earlier in the day. My brother CEO, you know, he plays the bass guitar too. He's a little quiet and a little modest about that. But the CEO can do a little thing here and there as well. But, you know, the black man is a master. That's why they call me the ace that plays the bass. You feel what I'm saying? I am the master. I am the one who can do the thing on them four strings. You feel what I'm saying? Left-handed, if you will. Ain't too many lefties out there in the world. So we're going to have a wonderful time. It's going to be some good eating. Good brother Matez, Mighty Drip Drip, is going to be there in the house. Hopefully, I might have a couple friends from Chicago and from some other places. And like I said, the rest of my cousins going to be there, baby. We going to have a blast. Uh-oh. My dear sister is going to coordinate the party for me. She was already setting the layout and the vision for my backyard, baby. So it's going to be a nice little experience. It ain't going to just be a regular birthday party. It's going to be a whole experience. And we're going to have some good eating. Let me tell you that now. My auntie makes the best birthday cake you've ever had in your life. I promise you that. Y'all going to want to hire her when it's all said and done.
And I love me some birthday cake. Believe me, I'm a big boy, and I love some cake and a good glass of milk with it, some ice cream. Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You best believe it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're going to have some indie wrestlers there, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I got a couple guys that just might show up. I can't necessarily say with 100% certainty that they will exactly be there. But I will say this. I have reached out to a couple of them. And if I can drop a couple of names that you just might see, I know we're making the guarantees, but you just might see Mr. One Night Only. You just might see good brother Jeremiah Goldman, the 24-carat lion. You just might see him there. You feel what I'm saying? You just might see him. Yeah, you know, I can't make 100% promises because, see, it's that time of year. It's a season. It's that money bag season. You feel me? Because they got to get out there and work and get that money. This pandemic has shut everybody's means and good living down for a little while. And they've been back on the scene. And so, you know, it's going to be real busy in the summertime. So even though it's what it is, a couple of those guys say, yeah, I plan on coming. I plan on showing up. Catch me there. You know what I'm saying? So I'm really grateful for that because I'm just a little humble fella from the east side of Detroit, you feel what I'm saying? Pershing High School's finest, you feel me? So I'm really humble and grateful that I got people saying they willing to come and check me out. So you never know. You just never know. But no matter who's there, even if it's just you servants, brother Greg DeMarc and brother Daddy, we're going to have a ball, baby. I promise you that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
So I'll give you guys an inside scoop on something. Here's this is kind of almost dirt sheet news stuff, almost behind the curtain stuff, but not quite. And I can speak on it because I hold the power, and I'll explain what I mean. XICW has a raffle, and if you win the raffle, you can manage your favorite superstar, you can do guest commentary, or you can book a match. And right now, your boy owns the ticket to book a match at XICW. And let me just say Jeremiah Goldman is he's in your boy's ear. And I'm going to tell you, full disclosure here, that when we entered this raffle, I'm trying to win the guest manager spot, right? I'm trying to manage or have Bradley manage the best on the fucking planet, right? Again, for like the sixth time, which MM3 is undefeated with Bradley as his manager. So Bradley wanted the booker spot. There's a certain match, and actually, I'll even tell you, he wants to see Solo in MM3. That's the match the boy wants to see.
Hey, Greg, I got an idea.
Jeremiah Goldman has a much, much bigger match in mind.
Hey, Greg,
that's
I got an idea.
Golden, baby. 24
you know,
carat
you know
casting,
the
baby.
Idea.
That's what I
You know the match that was made last year on this show, right? The LAX versus the Monroe's Fans Bring the Weapons match, right?
Yes, DBA's silver anniversary match.
We need to make something happen where we need to meet up with not just DBA, but the XI, you know what I'm saying, backstage, you know, panel and the staff to see if me, the Southwest Texan, and you, Greg DeMarc, you're in the corner of the Monroes, and I would be in the corner of LAX.
Well, we'd have to win the raffle the week before that, I would say. But, hey, like any raffle, it can be bought. I've always said that, and it's actually a running joke on social media how I win that raffle. And I will tell you, which I have told you intimately, Day-Day, I have a fucking strategy. There's a way that I do it. And I don't spend $100, you know. I do it a certain way, and I'm not necessarily guaranteed to win what I want, but to be picked one out of those three, you know, raffle tickets, my success rate's extremely high. I've done a lot of commentary. At one time, I did the commentary for a match that Bradley managed the Kira Clan in the battle.
Nice.
But let me just say, and more to come, pay attention to this because Jeremiah Goldmane has a golden idea of what to do with this guest booker spot, and this match could be fucking huge. Let me tell you, it's nobody that you've seen regularly around here is, dare I say, not even necessarily a wrestler.
Yeah.
So, if you know, you know. Obviously, Day-Day, I'll tell you off air. Same with you, Coco and Martez. I'll tell you guys exactly.
And if you guys didn't know, you guys better FIO.
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 So,
dude, I'm gonna
shoot up some ideas if you have any ideas of what our next sponsored match is going to be at Proving Ground here next month.
Nice. So,
and
dude,
we're gonna pick it.
I was gonna save this for my comeback, but I'm gonna announce it now. Everybody, on July the 8th, I will officially be making my return. I know I was supposed to do this last week, but the guest that we have, and Coco, this is meaning you too because you're still gonna be here. I will be bringing ECW original CW Anderson to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313.
Oh, snap, baby. Now that is what I'm talking about. Now that's some heavy-hitting stuff, baby, right there. This ain't no peanut gallery radio show, ladies and gentlemen. This is the real deal. You feel what I'm saying? See, y'all need to understand something about Brother Monty Drip Drip. And the Open Talk, 313 Open Talk, Detroit, the family, you feel what I'm saying? But we don't play no games around here. We for real, and we don't waste no time, you see. See, we got some Teddy Long vibes. We got an open door policy here. Come on in, baby, because we want to hear from you. And the people who are listening want to hear just the thing. So, yeah, kudos to y'all, Brother Day-Day, Brother Greg, Brother Marty. Y'all keep on doing what you're doing. This is some good stuff right here. We bring in the best and only the best come through these here radio doors, if you will, because Rated R 313 podcast is the hottest thing going around like some ghost peppers, baby, and some hot sauce. You feel me?
Data is also working on getting us an interview with somebody who is in that on-screen performer, but holds an important job in a premier wrestling promotion, and we're gonna talk with that person about, you know, some of the other aspects of the wrestling business. I mean, it takes you know, a lot of hands to put on a wrestling show, and there are a lot of different hats, and I've worn several of them. I've been blessed to, you know, that I've been invited behind the curtain, that I've been invited to set up and tear down, and, you know, it takes a lot of different hats to put on the show that we all enjoy, and it's always fun hearing about those different aspects of the wrestling business.
And I'm going to tell you guys one more thing. I've been working super hard, and I'm going to screenshot you brothers, the people that I've been trying to get a hold of. Some of have looked at the messages, some haven't, but it takes time to reply because, you know, they're doing the things like chicken wings. But one guy I can tell you that I am trying to get that is from all of our Attitude Era childhoods, and he used to tag team with a guy. They used to wear skirts, and, you know, they're doing their thing in the indie scene, and I'm pretty sure you guys knew who I was talking about when I said they used to wear skirts.
Oh, yeah, baby, that's right. I know exactly who you're talking about, Brother Dave.
The Headbangers might make their way. Like Coco T said, they're going to be coming through that open door. The Headbangers are going to make their way to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast also. So hopefully we get them too. I mean, I was talking to Thrasher the other day, and he told me that I have to hit him up on his other Facebook. But I'm pretty sure it's a sure thing. Because they like to get not down and dirty with the nitty and the gritty on the indie scene, so I'm pretty sure they wouldn't mind getting a little Rated R with the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313.
The Flying Nuns.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Flying Nuns.
Oh, yeah.
You remember the Flying Nuns?
Yeah, I remember them.
The Headbangers debuted as the Flying Nuns, and I actually, just on a Wrestling Bios video, it was actually about the first six episodes of Shotgun Saturday Night, where they were, you know, on in the middle of the night, it was Raw. The first episode, Marlena dropped her top, like, her whole top. It was like, whoa. Like, wow, I seen some side boob and everything, you know. Like,
yeah.
Man, I had to be, what, 15? But,
oh,
yeah,
brother,
man,
that means
they made their debut on Shotgun Saturday Night as the Flying Nuns. And they actually eventually, the Flying Nuns got arrested, on Shotgun Saturday Night. And that night they debuted as the Headbangers on Shotgun Saturday Night. I never knew that or realized that until just last night, when I was going to sleep watching the newest Wrestling Bios video. And I can't
that
shout out
awesome.
Anybody on YouTube without shouting out Hard Cam Frio right now. He's got the freshest shit out there from the Midwest scene. He's got the matches. He's getting the shots. Hard Cam Frio, my man, hit him up. And for you guys working at work with the headphones, you get into the audio thing, Pro Wrestling Edge, they're our boys, and they're your guys, man. Hit them up, Podbean, everywhere you get your wrestling podcasts. They always got some fresh shit going.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you can
they
find where the events
energy.
Are on Michigan Independent Weekly. You can catch that on YouTube. You can catch them on Facebook. Join the group, man. They got an awesome calendar. They'll tell you the when, where, and how much. And they share the posters and the matches and, you know, a good place to keep up with what's going on when.
Yeah, dude, and definitely, and our guest for the evening is almost on. Like I said, GCW Hall of Famer, Madman Pondo, I want to ask him a little bit about what, you know what I'm saying, Chris Jericho, ask him what was his biggest injury or the weapon that he wouldn't use again. Because, I mean, there's you know, weapons that fans bring that are outrageous. And Greg, you know what we're talking about because we've actually been there. I want to ask him about, you know, his favorite opponent in Horror Slam and RPW, and who would he like to face at either promotions, or, you know what I'm saying, and ask him about his cartoon that he got going on. That's something that I can't wait to ask him about. He's got a cartoon coming out.
Uh-oh. I love cartoons, dude.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Talking about the man. We talked him up, Brother Coco T. Talked up Brother Greg. And now, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 3-on-3, GCW Hall of Famer, the man, the one and only Madman Pondo. Welcome to the show, brother. Thank you for coming on.
What's up, you bunch of crazy motherfuckers? What's going on?
Oh, man, not much, man.
A privilege, man, a true privilege to, you know, be talking to a legend such as yourself, man. I've met you out there. I got your book. I haven't had a chance to sit down and read it all. I've pretty much just thumbed through it, but it's I've heard so much about it. It's just, man, an honor to have you with us tonight.
Dude, Ric Flair, Terry Funk, that's your legends and your honors. I'm just kind of a jack-off that likes to have a good time, you know.
Yeah, but you say that shit, but that's so not true because now, and I'll admit, I've only been, you know, familiar with the indie scene for like the last 7 years when I found SICW. But now becoming, you know, such a fan of it and looking back, you were wrestling Moses and shit. In hardcore matches in the Old Testament.
That's it, man. there was 11 commandments, but I beat the shit out of Moses with that big rock tablet, so now there's only 10.
Man, I mean, you've been headlining for over 20 years. You've been a legit headliner. You never disappoint.
June 24th will be 32 years for me in the wrestling business.
Holy fuck. I was only 2 years old when you came into the wrestling business.
I'm 39. That's what I was just going to say. I'm going to be 40 in August.
Yeah, I was 20 years old when I started wrestling. My first match was June 24th, 1989, in Albion, Illinois, versus a guy named the Avalanche, and I just never looked back, kept on doing it. Never had to take a break until Mania weekend when I broke two ribs and when I went, put a hole in my lung and made it collapse. But other than that, man, I've just been wrestling the whole time.
Yeah, I'm recovering from a collapsed lung myself. That's no fun.
So, man, Pondo, also, man, you were just the talk of Jericho. You brought up Horace Slam and you brought up RPW, man. Those guys are very close to us just as much as they are to you, man. You've wrestled a lot of people in Horace Slam. You've wrestled Peter V, Chuck Stein. You've wrestled Congo Kong. You've wrestled Percy Drews up in Horace Slam. RPW, I'm not a lot of familiar with your matches in RPW, but you want to, you know, elaborate a little bit on what you think about Horace Slam and RPW, and who was your favorite match out of all your people that you faced in Horace Slam?
Well, Horace Slam and RPW is in Michigan. I hate coming to Michigan, and I'll tell you why. You pass the road that you're wanting to go. You got to go down a mile to get to a U-turn section. Anyway, other than that, man, I mean, me and Briar, we've known each other for Dick year, man. We was on the first JCW tour together, and Rachel's real cool me, never had a problem. Christopher and Shay Miller, people are awesome to me. After RPW, we went to Kelly's house and watched horror movies all night long. I mean, that's what I'm all about, you know. I just want to hang out with new people, make new friends, and that's what Horace Slam and RPW has done. So I really, you asked me who I really want to wrestle at those two companies. So June 24th, I will wrestle Slack. He was one of the bucket list guys, and then I think RPW is going to let me wrestle Neil Diamond Cutter,
And now the big one, man, like H2O had said that they was going to do it, but I see them keep having shows, and they just haven't asked me to come in and do it. But Low Life Louie, me and him is about the same age, and we have never been in the ring together. So that's my last one.
That's going to be a banger right there. You and Schlag, man, I've seen both you guys live, man. I've recorded almost every match that you had in Horrorslam. I recorded the trilogy with you and Chuck Stein when you beat Chuck Stein for the Deathmatch Championship, and you guys went back and forth for the championship. I've seen you versus Peter B, man, and then I've seen Schlag so many times. I recorded two of his matches, and you guys to go at it, I really want to see that. And next time you come to Michigan, I know what to get you. I know to get you some Yoo-Hoo because I was watching that video you had the other day eating that Yoo-Hoo bar. So I'm like, I brought you a steak before. Now I know to bring you some Yoo-Hoo instead of a steak.
Well, here's the thing about the Yoo-Hoos, man. Somebody could be having a bad day, or two guys could be headed to the ring and hate each other. Or you could have a problem with the referee. You could have a problem with the promoter. You could have a problem with the fan. But if somebody comes over and hands you a can of Yoo-Hoo, what can you argue with that? You can't. That's just the friendly thing to do, and everybody smiles afterwards. So Yoo-Hoos are important in life, I think.
I totally agree.
That's an interesting approach to conflict resolution. I mean, like you said, I mean,
yeah.
What do you do? What are you going to do? Fuck you,
yeah,
Hell no.
Nah,
dude, graciously accept the Yoo-Hoo. Thank you. And the heat cools down.
So now you know if I come over to you and hand you a can of Yoo-Hoo that either I have a problem with you or I can tell that today you're bummed about something. But either way, you're going to get that Yoo-Hoo and smile.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Now, I want to ask you another thing is about your cartoon. I just seen that post, I want to say yesterday or a little earlier yesterday, man. You want to elaborate a little bit on the cartoon and let us know what it's about, when is it going to debut or where?
It's not really a cartoon. Like, I would love to be in a cartoon. But this company, AWR, in Indianapolis was doing a Deathmatch tournament, and they made cartoons of everybody. And I'm wrestling Remington Roar, so I just put that on my Facebook, did a little funny thing. You know, you can be serious in real life and wrestling. I like being a jack off, so I put the picture on there of me and Remington Roar. And let me go ahead and say, man. Any of those Deathmatch companies out there that sleep on Remington Roar, you're fucking up because that dude's going to be a Deathmatch star.
Day-Day, we got to get him.
We got to get
him on
done.
The show.
Yes, sir. We got to make that happen. I'm very ready to make that happen. So, another thing.
Pondo
wanna,
approved.
Oh, go ahead.
He's Pondo approved.
Coco T, you got one for Mr. Pondo?
Yes, sir. I was just waiting for my opportunity to jump in. So, first off, Brother Madman, allow me to introduce myself. I'm the Black Man Coco T. Ware. I'm the founder and leader of Kayfabe, the People's Band here. I'm real, real good friends with good brother Greg DeMarc and good brother Day-Day Cruz. Today I'm kind of like the interim co-host while good brother Day-Day takes a sabbatical while he enjoys his new baby boy that he's brought into the world with his wonderful lady. So I have to ask you, Brother Madman, because, see, I got to be honest with you. The deathmatch style type wrestling is not exactly my thing, you know what I'm saying. However, I do respect anybody that gets involved in that because you got to be a tough son of a gun, baby, to step in the ring and take all kind of hits and tacks And God knows whatever else is going to be thrown in that ring. What I need to know, Brother Madman, how do you train and prepare for something like that? I mean, do you take a piece of slicer to the arm and drop some elbows? Or I mean, do you headbutt some glasses? I mean, I don't know how you do it. I mean, what does it take to be in and do what it is that you do every week and then do it again the next week? Can you explain? I mean, I said a lot there, but help us out who ain't really, you know, who don't really watch or is involved in that particular type of wrestling. Help us out, brother.
Retardation. That's what? Not okay.
I mean, here's the thing about being a deathmatch worker. There is no practicing doing death matches. There's no, hey, let's go to wrestling school and hit each other with light tubes or nothing like that. Death matches, you either have them in you or you don't have them in you. And I have never sat around and ran down high-flying wrestling. I've never sat around and ran down technical wrestling, comedy wrestling, strong style wrestling. I've never run down any wrestling style there is, because there is a market for all of them. If there wasn't a market for all of them, there would be no wrestling today. Well, death matches, I heard you say death matches aren't really your thing, and that's cool, because they're whatever your style of wrestling that you love. There's a DVD of it out there. There's a T-shirt of your favorite wrestler out there. So, yeah, I get it that death matches isn't for everybody, but death matches was always for me. And here we are on this podcast.
True enough. Another follow-up question. Who trained you? And when you got your start in the wrestling business, who's the person that you that coached you up and got you ready to do this thing that you love so much?
He's passed away now, but there was a guy named Bud Chaplin, BUDCHAPLIN, out of Olney, Illinois, and he had a wrestling school in Olney, Illinois. I was going there every Sunday for a year and a half, whatever it was. But, yeah, that's who trained me, a guy named Bud Chapman. But maybe the stuff that he was teaching me, I wanted to go more. Like, he taught all of his students the basics, but I didn't want to just be basic. I wanted to get my name out there and let people know who I was. Well, not running anybody down from where I started training, but people know who Madman Pondo is, but nobody really knows who those guys are. So I think I made the right decision by traveling all over the United States, getting my face out there, letting people know who I was. And now I've been to 5 different countries on somebody else's dime, wrestled all over the United States. So, yeah, I would say I made the right decision for myself.
Oh, well, that's
so
awesome,
Danny always asked the Danny always asked the question, what made you choose deathmatch wrestling over any other style? How did you forecast that for yourself? Was it just something you thought of to stand out and be different?
Well, I was a big tape trader back in the day. And I had all types of deathmatch wrestling videotapes. So me and some friends would get together, and every Sunday we was renting the In Your House pay-per-views WWE was running. They wasn't really all that action-filled, but we didn't care. We always got the In Your – I mean, they was every Sunday. So it was cool to us. But here's the thing, during the In Your House pay-per-views, maybe we weren't paying too much attention to the TV, you know, we was joking with each other or eating pizza or
all that. We always watched the main event, but not so much the whole pay-per-view. But after that pay-per-view was over, without question, every time it was, hey, Kevin, I was a Pondo then, it was like, hey, Kevin, throw in one of those videotapes that you got. And 11, 12, 13 of my friends, we would be watching a deathmatch videotape, and all eyes would be on the TV, focused in on the TV. So I told myself that this is what I could do to get my name out there. This is what I could do to be different. I mean, if you think about it, Axel and that other piece of shit, they did it at ECW, and when that piece of shit got fired from ECW, I was number three. I was the one that he came to, and we went all over the United States doing it. So out of America, I was number three to start doing death matches. And look at it now. You know, there's a reason that you guys asked me on this podcast. It's not because I did a headlock. It's not because I did a moonsault. Not because I did some comedy spot in the ring, and I'm certainly not strong style. It's because I chose to do deathmatch wrestling.
That's absolutely true. And you do it as well as anybody has ever done it. Still, 32 fucking years later, still doing it as well as the best of them. It's impressive. How many years does that body have left in it? Oh, you got some miles.
I'll tell you at the end. I don't know how many more years right now, but at the end, we'll get back on this podcast, and I'll say, okay, I can't do them no more. So, the future is never predicted, but I have no.
That's true.
No thought in my mind, no inkling in my mind of stopping doing them. So really won't know until something happens terrible or I'm down in that ground. But either way, you guys can take it to the bank. I love death matches. I love the whole death match family that's out there, which people call them fans, but I call them death match family. And I'm not going to stop until they stop doing me.
That's yeah. So the desire will never leave you. Your body will have to quit on you, eh? Is pretty much how
that's
you feel
it.
About it.
Yep, pretty
that's
much.
Awesome, right?
I mean, think about this, guys. I broke two ribs, number three and four, and one of them punctured my lung, making my lung collapse down to the size of your fist. And I got up, I walked back to the ring, and I did another 6 or 7 minutes. I think that puts me in the bad motherfucker category. Don't you guys agree?
I would agree,
sir,
because
absolutely.
I just had a lung collapse in January, and when my lung collapsed, within 5 minutes, I couldn't move. And I was on my way to the hospital in probably 15 to 20 by ambulance. So,
that's
on another level.
My lung collapsed. I went back to the ring. I was swinging stop signs. Picked a man up on my shoulders and threw him over the top rope, swinging a sledgehammer. I'm not going to lie, that night, yes, I was ready to sit the fuck down, but my dedication to death matches was like, fuck that collapsed lung, let's get the ring and let's finish this match for the fans.
Wow, that's passion. Respect to you, man.
That is some real passion and dedication, brother. Much respect. Especially coming from a guy who's not a death match viewer, but I gotta say I can respect what it is that you guys do, man. Because that only the tough of the toughest can do what you guys do. You feel what I'm saying? So let me ask this, because I think just about every single pro wrestler, no matter what kind of wrestling they do or where they're from, or, you know, if they're super famous or if they're independent or whatnot,
I know you got a couple of interesting road stories, some hilarious ones, some wild ones. Can you give us one or two?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple. The first story that I'll tell you is me and Tuta Tony was in Japan, and we just got off the bus, and a van was going to take us over to the hotel. And the toilets at the dojo at Big Japan was, if you get on Google and search Japanese toilets, you'll see that they're just like ceramic bowls down in the floor. Well, Tony didn't want to use those. And I told him, I said, look, the hotel's not but 10 minutes away. Just wait till you get to the hotel. Having a thought in my mind the whole time, I said, just wait till you get to the hotel. So all the way, every time we got hit by a red light or something, he was, come on, we got to go. So then we get to the hotel, and there is a bathroom down in the lobby. But I told him, I said, man, you don't want to stink up this lobby. You don't want people hearing you taking a shit in there. Just go upstairs to your room. You're almost there. And he's like, yeah, okay. So we pushed the elevator. The elevator took so long to get down there. We finally get inside. We're on floor 15. We're on our way up. And I push every fucking button.
Oh, man. Oh, Brother Pondo, you're deaf in the ring and on the elevator, baby. Come on. That's torture. That's a death match in itself, like that, Dennis.
Man. I hear you. Just little shit like that. And then here's this isn't a funny story, but this is a story about the road that I want to tell a lot of the younger wrestlers out there, man. Don't just go to your shows and then go to your hotels or go to your shows and then go home. There's a reason that we was chosen to be professional wrestlers. Only out of this planet, there's a handful of us that got accepted to do it. So I am the type of guy. So when I got booked in Texas, I told him, I said, yeah, I'll come, but you guys got to get me to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house. Well, then they took me to the graveyard. And then later I went to the gas station from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. When I got booked in Colorado, I said, okay, but you got to get me to the Hotel of the Shining. And we did that. Then they took me to South Park, Casa Bonita. My point that I'm trying to say is, yes, they're wrestling trips. Yes, you need to be dedicated and get to the show and figure out what you're doing. But the day before, day after, maybe if you have time the day of, get out there and enjoy life. Get out there and look at things that are around. Really, when I come to Detroit, I can't think of anything that I maybe a football game, maybe a baseball game. But really, when I come to Detroit, I really haven't done too much. I don't know any sightseeing stuff. Like when I go to Philly, I went to the Rocky Steps and the Rocky Statue. Just this West Virginia for the Masters of Pain. I went to the Point Pleasant, to the Mothman Statue, and this place called Hillbilly Hot Dogs that's famous on the Food Channel. You know, just enjoy life. Don't just wrestle. Get out there and see some things.
Absolutely. That's true. And hey, I'm a photo from
in Detroit.
All right, let me tell you this, brother. Madman, I wanted to add, when you come to the D, brother, when you need to get yourself something to eat, you got to get to a Coney Island restaurant, baby. We got to get you around to some great Coney Island restaurants. That's something very unique to the state of Michigan. Everywhere from downriver all the way up to just about Saginaw, there's tons of Coney Island restaurants. We got some of the best Coney dogs in the world, you feel me? And all kind of good comfort food, you know what I'm saying? So the next time you are in the 313, you make it your personal business to tell somebody, hey, Take me to the best Coney Island around. And I promise you they'll do that for you.
I've been to a bunch of those Coney Islands, three or four of those. And there's also it used to be 24 hours, but after COVID, it's not a place called Green's Burgers. But I'll tell you what I love the most about eating in Michigan. It's those Greek diners that's open all night long, the cooks don't speak English. You're lucky if the cashier does, but the food every time is spot the fuck on. So yeah, I like those diners you guys have all over Michigan.
Yes, sir. Those are the best ones. You're absolutely right. The ones that can hardly speak English, but they know how to speak money and they know how to speak food. The gyros are just immaculate. Downtown in Greektown, there's a restaurant I believe called the Golden Fleece. I love that place. Very inexpensive. You get some of the best gyros on the planet.
I would, let me go ahead and help you guys out with this. Around Tennessee, North Carolina, Ohio, and a few places in Kentucky, go Google it. But there is a restaurant called The Cookout, and you can get a main entree, which is like a burger, a double burger, a quesadilla, two corn dogs, you know, and then you pick two sides, and your two sides will be like hush puppies or chicken nuggets or, shit like that, and a drink, all for under $6. It's like a wrestler's best friend. And then the whole Wawa versus Sheetz debate, fuck Wawa over Sheetz. Wawa has sandwiches and shit like that. Sheetz has everything you can think of under the sun that you want to eat. Hamburgers, hot dogs. They got these things called macaroni bites. Holy shit, I'm in love with them macaroni bites. They got not just Rice Krispie treats, but they got Rice Krispie treats made out of Fruity Pebbles. Just imagine that. Rice Krispie treats made out of Fruity Pebbles. Yeah, I'm a Sheetz guy over Wawa.
Sheetz is in Pennsylvania. Actually, it's not only there, but that was my first exposure to it. Yeah, they got this little gimmick, man. You order up what you want, like some of these speedways are starting to get. Yeah, the food is always fire at Sheetz. That's, man, gas station spot day. How do you feel about Waffle House? Are you a Waffle House guy?
Dude, I'm a food guy, but yeah, 24-hour Waffle House, nothing beats that.
I lived in Memphis. I lived in Memphis, and we didn't have family there. My wife and I and my son lived there. So, like, holidays, we went to Waffle House for dinner. Easter, Christmas, we went to Waffle House.
I don't blame you, man.
24/7, 365.
You can go to an IHOP or Denny's, and you can order your food, and it takes a while to get there, but Waffle House, man, they just throw it out there on that hot oven, scoop it all up on a plate, put it in front of you, and to me, it always tastes great. Some people won't touch a Waffle House with a 10-foot pole.
I don't understand why.
Exactly.
Like you said, it's prepared right in front of you on a griddle. It's not ever not fresh. It goes down right there, cooked to order. Waffle House is great. We need Waffle House in Michigan. We have no Waffle House.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We Michiganders are being robbed of the wonderful thing, this wonderful institution they call Waffle House. When I went to Florida last summer, it was my very first time, if y'all can believe it, ever attending a Waffle House. And me and Khaleesi Kayfabe, Sensational Sweet Denny, we lavished and spoiled ourselves on some good old waffles. I had some chocolate chip waffles, baby. with some scrambled eggs and some cheese and a couple of strips of bacon. Boy, we was eating real good. I might have gained about 12 pounds going to that trip and back home. But, yes, sir, I love me some Waffle House. And I went a second time during Christmas week when I went to Florida again. In case some of y'all didn't know, me and the missus, we trying to make Florida our home. You never know, it might happen one of these days. But until then, Michigan is here. But we need a Waffle House here, baby. We got to get ourselves a Waffle House. That's some good eating. I don't know what it is about it, but there's some good stuff. The floor can be dirty. People could be fighting, but you still got to have your Waffle House. Hey, let me get that number one, ma'am, to go. Hold the bullet.
Bro, have you ever checked out Tony's?
I'm sorry?
Have you ever made it by Tony's at I-75 heading out towards, like, Flint?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I don't guess I have, no.
So when you get a breakfast, it's kind of like you were saying that one place. They give you, if you get it with bacon, you get a pound of bacon. You get sausage, you get a pound of sausage.
A whole basket.
Hey, I was going to tell you guys, June 23rd, I'm going to be in Michigan, in Detroit, Michigan, at the Majestic Theater, 4120 Woodward Ave, Majestic Theater. I will be wrestling for Juggalo Championship Wrestling with the Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, boy, that's exactly 1 week from now.
Okay, so you put that up. Briar Wellington is a good friend of mine, and Rachel, too. So this guy's running around calling himself the uncrowned JCW champion. Do you take issue with that?
I don't give a shit.
You don't want that belt? It's beautiful. Have you seen it?
I've had it. I've had that belt twice. Chick. Had the tag titles. I would love to have a title, but man, it's not that important to me. What's important to me is I'm still getting booked down there. I'm still loved by the Juggalos, and you know, I mean the obvious that I'm still paying bills through Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
So did you watch back the video from the house party show? Did you watch back the match?
I did not. I watched on Facebook. There was some clips of it, which they got took down. But I watched a few of my clips of me and Satu Jin. But as far as watching
Chase
the whole
fucking
show,
thing,
I don't have...
motherfucker.
Yeah. But I don't have... and you know what's funny about that is me and Satu killed each other all through that thing, and everybody wants
it's
to
studio.
Talk about me doing the Macarena.
Dude, that was so entertaining, that match. That was you were the first half main event, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, it was so good. Man, your matches are always so entertaining. And another friend of mine, the Revolting Blob, your match with him was pretty sweet. I know it was an honor for him to get his ass beat by you, for sure.
I love that guy.
I love that kid, man. He's a good kid. So I want to ask you about something else. So I hear you were on Jerry Springer.
So my buddy Ace Kraft got on Jerry Springer, and they asked him if he knew any wild and crazy people. Well, his first thought was me, so he called me up, and they set up a show. Me, my girlfriend at the time, Too Tough Tony, and Mitch Page, we went and did an episode, and they liked that one so well. But I got invited back, and then me, my girlfriend, and her mother did an episode, and then they started asking me to get them people. So I got them three people 1 week, and they was like, oh, my God, these people were awesome. So then they spent me money to get them guests, And I was doing real good with that, man. I was getting them guests all the time. They were sending me checks. They would fly me in to hang out with my guests every once in a while. But the problem is they wanted you on call 24/7. 3:38 in the morning, they needed somebody. They expected you to pick up your phone, and they'd blow you up all night long. You know, just after a while, I was like, I had enough of it. But, yeah, I had a good time doing that with the Jerry Springer Show. I got to meet Jerry and Steve and all them guys. So, yeah, it was a good experience.
So you were networking crazy fuckers for money. That's great. I didn't know there was a market for knowing crazy fuckers.
Welcome to Deathmatch Wrestling.
Apparently, it can be lucrative depending on who you know, right?
That's it.
That's great. So, who are you facing at JCW? Do you know, or can you tell us?
Really, I don't know, but I'm gonna make it just as entertaining as I can. So. Anybody out there, it's the Majestic Theater, 9 o'clock, June 23rd. Come on out, and let's have a good time.
Yeah, I believe it's a Wednesday night, and I'm almost certain tickets are still available for that show. I know the a few of those JCW shows since the house party one was, they were really sought after, and they were very rare.
Right.
It was, very limited from what I've heard. So we have...
We've got questions.
We have indoor wrestling finally coming back. Did you, are you glad that, full capacity indoors returning, or were you cool with the outdoor thing?
I didn't do too many outdoor shows. There was a guy that I'm going to not say what town he was from, but it was small enough that the police didn't hound anybody and all that. So I've been wrestling on the inside for a while. And there was one little stint where we had to slow down, but, I always wrestled through the whole pandemic. I was delivering pizza. I was door dashing. So really, I wasn't affected by any of that at all. But yeah, we just did IWA's Coast Weekend, and Friday we had the Zero G Crown. Saturday at 1:00 we had the girls from Girl Fight, and then the main event 7:00. On Saturday, we had the Masters of Pain tournament, and we drew 300 people for that. We would not have been able to do 300 if the numbers hadn't came up like they had. And there was a lot of people from Detroit. But, I'm more than happy that the numbers and the buildings are going to start opening up again.
Yeah,
and let me just say Brother Madman, speaking as a wrestling fan, it with regards to this whole pandemic shutdown thing, I got to say, I loved it when I saw more independent promotions started opening up, early in the year, because, frankly, people just needed an escape. You know what I'm saying? Some of us been locked in and locked down and out of work or out of hope or just out of activities, you know what I'm saying? So, one thing I love and appreciate about the wrestling business is that you guys were just finding ways to get around and just make it happen for us. So I really, really appreciate it. I'm bringing up like the WWE and all them places. I just got to say with wrestling in general, you guys helped us take our minds off. You mentioned for a couple of hours. Of all this thing called COVID and all these things of nature. And some of us lost loved ones or had loved ones to lose friends and people they love. And so I just got to say, man, wrestling will forever hold a special place in the black man's heart. You feel what I'm saying?
because you guys gave us something to just keep looking forward to every single week, every single night, whether we're watching you on TV or in person. You know what I'm saying? You gave us something to look forward to, and I believe we're all being rewarded come the remainder of the year and from here on out. I just think pro wrestling in general is just going it's going to be solidified forever in popular culture, especially here in America and other parts of the world. But I just got to say, I just got to salute all of you, including yourself, Brother Pondo. And I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to be following and checking up and linking up with you, brother, because you're going to give you might be that bridge that helps the black man get around to maybe opening his horizons up with regard to the deathmatch style ref. And I just want you to know that.
Well, thank you, man. But, on that point, if I may, I don't know what you guys talk about on your podcast here, but how about that the king is finally getting flayed? Because for years, everybody, Vince went out and bought every territory that he could. He bought ECW, he bought WCW, and everybody thought there was no way that WWE would ever be conquered. But give it up for AEW walking in and saying, fuck you, we're going to do things our way, and giving Vince some competition. And from what I understand, this could be total rumor, but I think Vince is getting ready to sell WWE, So I'm giving up for AEW for giving a little bit of competition in the world.
I 100% agree. We actually talk about all wrestling. And, a lot about, indie and our, local product and guys that we want to just help promote and let people promote whatever they want and get their name out there. But we just had some conversations about this, I believe the week before last. And I completely agree. I think what it is these guys that started AEW seen what the true wrestling fans that still love wrestling, because we're still here. We still love wrestling, and there's still lots of us. They were not giving us what we wanted to see. And we showed them in watching it because it's not interesting as it was. It come to the point where I have had WWE Network since the day it launched, and I'm watching maybe one out of every three or four pay-per-views even. And, AEW gave us what we want. And they're still toying with it. They're, not everything they do is money, but they're giving us what we want to see. And they're trying their best to do that. And that's where, to me, they eclipsed them. And I say this all the time, that I think if you ask 9 out of 10 indie guys would tell you, right now, that they would rather go to AEW than WWE. Because, guys that have gotten themselves over, they've learned their craft, gotten a character or themselves over, why can't you continue? That has worked. That has gotten me noticed. Why do I have to be something completely different now? And when they do that, it very rarely works, and that's not what we want to see.
Well, I'm going to tell you this straight off the rip, and there's a lot of wrestlers out there that never made it to WWE that will look you straight in your eyes and say, WWE was never my dream. Well, let me be the one to tell you guys, WWE, WWF, WCW, none of those was ever my dream. My dream was always going to Japan, and I went 43 times there and back over my 32 years of wrestling. I went to Mexico, I went to Germany, I went to Australia, I went to England, all over the United States. I have a book about me out there. John Costa wrote a book about me. You can pick it up at Amazon.com, or you can go to EatSleepWrestle.com and talk to John Costa about an autographed copy. I have an action figure coming out. I've been on three video games. Yeah, I've been on three video games. DeathmatchWorldwide.com. Is selling my T-shirts. They're selling the shit out of those things. There's just so much stuff that I've done without any TV notoriety. I've never been on WWE. I've never been on WCW. I've never been on ECW. But somehow I have done all the things that all the big-name wrestlers always wanted to knock off their bucket list. And, you know, I'm like I said, haven't been on any major television here in America, but somehow I've pulled it all off. And you can, too. If you're an independent wrestler, invest in yourself. Don't think that just because you're not at one of those big companies, you can't do things that they do, because we can.
How is it you were never on ECW, being one of the first three deathmatch guys to come out of this country? How do you never end up in that position?
New Jack got me a meeting with Paul Heyman, and I brought a videotape, and I met with Paul Heyman and Tommy Dreamer. And from what I understand, Paul Heyman, that piece of shit that I was talking about before, that not actually, but the other one, Paul Heyman hated that guy. But he was the one that I was doing most of these kind of matches with. So he was on the videotape a lot. Paul Heyman watched one or two matches, loved them both, and then, like, match three was me and that piece of shit, and he ejected the tape and said, nope, this guy's not for us. So I kind of screwed myself in a way, but I know all of them guys. I probably wrestled all of them. I've never wrestled Bubba Ray or D-Von, but go over the list, man. I've wrestled Raven, Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, New Jack, fucking Mac Myers, you know, all those guys. I wrestled, and I'm on first name basis with all these ECW guys. So I more or less did what I wanted to do at ECW, just not for ECW.
I completely understand. And the,
yeah, and that
do you?
It, oh, go ahead. I think somebody was trying to say something. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Greg. Are you trying to say something?
No.
Right. Okay. Well, look. I'll just go ahead. I'll just jump in. The black man will jump back in on this one. Yeah. So basically, you just stated so many words. You've come across, because I was going to ask you if you had come across and rubbed elbows with some of the big-name companies over the years. And so essentially what you're saying is you really don't have to go to the top to be on top. You feel what I'm saying? You can. There is a finesse and a savvy and a business sense. You just got to have one on your own in the first place. It makes me think about guys like that Joey Ryan character. I understand that, I think about a couple of years ago, he had some opportunities where he could have maybe gone WWE, AEW, or whatever, and he decided to continue doing what he was doing. And so essentially what you're just saying is even as an indie guy, it does not mean being an indie has to be just a pit stop. It can be all you need to do and still make a decent living. Am I correct?
I'm just as happy as I can be, living my life, doing my little thing, and never been on any of those major companies, never had to worry about somebody trying to change my name, never have to worry about somebody not wanting Madman Pondo to be Madman Pondo. I'm just good old Madman Pondo, and I'm happy doing that.
That's awesome.
You're
awesome,
one of the nicest guys I've ever met, you know. One of the nicest huge stars. I mean, you're so generous with your time, as you've been generous with your time with us tonight. You are with each and every fan that comes and sees you after the show, and I applaud you for that. I've seen it on multiple occasions at multiple promotions.
Without the fans, there's no professional wrestling. So, I mean,
If McDonald's went out and kicked the shit out of every customer that came in, there would be no McDonald's. So it's not, and don't get me wrong. I say that excuse, but generally I'm a pretty nice guy from what I've been told and all that. But
I've never heard otherwise.
Yeah, like I told you at the beginning of the show, I'm all about meeting new people and making new memories and having good times.
So who right now is that you have not faced, do you want to face?
June 24th, I'm facing him. There is no God, there's only Slack. I will wrestle him in Anna, Illinois on June 24th.
Wrestle is what you're going to call it?
Well, that's what the marquee says.
Yep.
Hey,
if you're coming
okay,
to see chain
get
wrestling, you might be disappointed if you come to Schlack and Pondo looking for chain wrestling. But I tell you what, it's going to be a bloody war.
Well, if you throw a chain in there, we'll use it.
I suppose choking a man with a chain could be considered chain wrestling. So, yeah.
That's right. That's
Pondo
can
chain wrestle with the best of them. Pondo can chain wrestle with the best of them.
That's right.
So, where did you get the idea for your weapon? The bat with the circular saw blade in it.
So, there's a company in Denver, Colorado, and they do this tournament called the Slave to the Death Match. And I went one year, and they had one of those, but they had a bolt inside the blade, so the blade wouldn't move. And I thought to myself, you know, this would be so much cooler if the blade would spin. So I went to the guy who made it and asked him if I could have that. He was like, well, I want this one because it was used during the tournament. And I understood that. But I asked him where he got the idea, and he got that off a video game called Dead Island.
Oh.
A zombie game. So I came home. Got a hold of my buddy Fred Ferguson, who has all types of tools and all that kind of shit, and told him what I wanted, and I told him I wanted the blade to spin, and he figured it out, and I've been taking that saw bat everywhere I go now. I took it to Japan and Mexico, and I'm ready to take it to Australia. I just been told once the borders open that I'm going to the Deathmatch Down Under company in Australia. So I'm ready to roll.
So
man,
when you leave the country, where does this thing travel? In your bag?
It took me forever, but I found a big enough suitcase with wheels. I don't know if you know how tall I am, but it damn near comes up to my tits, right? And I just take the blade off. I put the bat in there, and then I put the blade in there and my bolts to put it back together. And I fly wherever I want with it.
Have you ever had to answer any questions about it?
So I was doing a show at this place called the Gathering, ran there a few times. This is a place called Hog Rock. And I'm late, but there's no phone service there. And I'll be damned if I'm looking at – I'm doing well over 90 because there's no phone service, and I know I'm late, but I don't want to be too late. So I'm doing 90 going down this road, and I look up on this hill, and there's a big white and black car that says sheriff on the side of it. So I already know that he's going to pull me over. So I went ahead and pulled over, got my registration, my insurance, my license out. And he comes up to the window, and he says, "Do you know how fast you was going?" I was like, "Oh, no, sorry. I was just listening to music. I didn't know what the speed limit was. And he says, well, did you think it was 91 miles per hour? I was like, oh, no, sir, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And he saw my my Hog Rock, that's the campground, he saw my Hog Rock sticker on my window. So he, and of course, you know, for ICP, there used to be a drug bridge, and I'm sure the bikers was, had some drugs at their rally there and all this shit. So he asked me, he says, do you have anything in the car that I need to know about? Well, I'm thinking drugs. I said, no, sir, I don't. He goes, okay, pop the trunk. And I go, oh, wait a minute. And he goes, now, damn it, son, I'm trying to be just as cool with you as I can be. He said, you be honest with me, I'll be honest with you. Now, we're going to reverse this conversation, and we're going to start all over. Is that cool? And I said, yeah. And he goes, do you have anything in the car I need to know about? And I said, yes, sir. And he says, where is it at? I said, it's in the trunk. He says, what is it? I said, well, there's a bat with a saw on it back there. There's another bat with barbed wire on it. There's a mace with some metal balls with pointy tape. There's a stop sign with blood on it. And he stopped. He says, wait a minute. He says, what in the hell is in this trunk right now? And I said, well, that's the kind of wrestling I do. It's called deathmatch wrestling. He goes, pop the trunk. So I popped the trunk, and I can hear the cop back there rumbling stuff around. And finally he says, come back here. So I walked back there, and he goes, you want to get out of this ticket? And I said, yeah. And he picks up my saw bat, and he hands me his cell phone. He says, take my picture with this thing. And he let me go. I would have gave that man his own photo shoot.
Oh, that's great. That's how I'm going to carry a barbed wire bat in my car.
There you go.
I made one just to have because I think it's cool. It looks cool with all my merch and stuff. Got it over there. I have all kinds of silly memorabilia from different things, bloody things and whatnot. And on my shelf, I have your book.
Oh, yeah. You just haven't read it yet, you said, right?
Nope, I've not. And everyone I know who's read it has nothing but great things to say about it. No, even I know a lot of people who've actually read it.
Well, I put my heart and soul into it, and I didn't skimp on the embarrassing stories or anything bad that happened to me. I didn't want anybody to think that any of my stories was bullshit, so they're all in there. And if you would, write my Facebook after you get done and tell me what you thought and what was your favorite story.
I will. I promise I will. And let everybody know where they can get Memoirs of a Madman.
Memoirs of a Madman, you can pick it up at Amazon.com or you all one word, eatsleepwrestle.com and ask the writer of the book, John Cosper, for an autographed copy.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
If you catch the Madman, you can usually purchase a copy from you in person like I did still, right?
No, I don't have any on me because Masters of Pain, we just sold out. But it's very rare that I don't have one with me, but I already know that I won't have one on June the 23rd.
There you go. That's all right. Amazon delivers fast. You can pick one up, meet him at the show, get it autographed. He'll draw you a cool little picture. And you can meet the madman in person.
And if I'm bleeding, here's the funny thing about that. If it's a deathmatch show and I write my autograph on there and I'm bleeding, it's always their choice or not, but I'll put you a bloody thumbprint on there as well.
I didn't get a damn bloody thumbprint. Fuck.
Was I bloody when you bought the book?
Perhaps not. But you had to have been at some point. I've never seen you not bleed.
Well, I do it at the table when after my matches. So if you didn't get it there, then I'm not sure you might have had a chance to get it or not.
Yeah, it was actually after a Horror Slam show at the VFW.
Well, bring it the 23rd, and I'll see what I can't do.
Awesome. I will, man. I will bring it with me every time I see you. I'm going to get my damn bloody thumbprint. That's awesome. Coco, do you have anything else for Pondo? We're about out of time.
Well, yeah, I just want to say thank you very much, Brother Madman, for coming on and chopping it up with us, just the young fellas. No pun intended, these young bucks here. We just wrestling fans. We just love the business. And you took the time to listen and hear us out, so we can't thank you enough. I just got one little question. It's just a little thing I want to do every time I ask a wrestler on the radio. Are you a Missy Hyatt kind of guy or a Miss Elizabeth kind of guy? Which one are you?
I would fuck Missy Hyatt today. Missy Hyatt is probably one of the most sexual chicks you could ever think about meeting. And Miss Elizabeth was kind of quiet, and you didn't know what she would do. Give me that Missy Hyatt any motherfucking day.
Any day.
Well, there you have it, people. There you have it.
There you go. Pondo, thank you so much, man. As always, you've been so awesome. We thank you for your time and look forward to seeing you soon and hopefully talking to you again.
Well, thank you guys for your time and having the faith that I'd be entertaining on your podcast. And down the road, you guys want to have me back on, I got no problem because I'm so full of shit I can keep on going.
I love it. Martez, do you have anything for our guest tonight? He hates when I do that. That's our producer. He's a man of few words.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks, Greg. I just wanted to say thanks for coming on the program. I enjoyed the interview, and hopefully you come back again, like you said.
All right, Martez. Hey, man. Talk. Do some talking, man. Let's show these guys wrong. Tell these guys that you can get on this show and talk your motherfucking ass off till they tell you to shut up.
He's actually the host of Open Talk in the D. He actually gave us this platform, and he's actually man, he's absolutely awesome. He tries to stay out of the way, but man, he is when he talks, dude, he's so entertaining. He always has the greatest questions. Martez is the fucking man, and without him, there'd be no us, and that's a shoot.
Hey, I love you, Greg.
Absolutely, baby. Absolutely.
Hey, I love you, Greg. I love you, Coco. I appreciate y'all saying that, and
I
do my best.
He is the man, baby. I'm not in this business. Listen, y'all, I got no business being mixed in with you good brothers. And Brother Martez, pull me in. And say, hey, Coco, we like you. I want to have you come around every now and again. Make sure you call. And now here I am, co-hosting with the hottest radio show in the city right now, 313, baby, Reddit Out Podcast. I'm so fortunate. I'm so undeserving, baby.
Dead air.
Hey, what? I know I'm glad to have you, man.
All right, guys. Hey, thank you, guys. I'm headed out, but thank you for your time.
Thank you again, Pondo.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
See you guys.
Man, that was awesome. Deathmatch legend, Madman Pondo, one of the first three deathmatch wrestlers to ever come out of the United States of America. From, you know, tape trading, deathmatch loving, you know, we talked to Chris Kohlenberg about, you know, the whole tape trading thing and how it works. But we're about, Martez, sorry we went into overtime here today. We, as you know, I'm for shit for managing time.
Hey, It's all good, man. This was a good show, man. Y'all really are killing it. And then adding Coco to the mix, man, it added a different flavor to it, man. So, yeah, man, this was a good show. And no worries. You know?
Calling you guys out, Saturday, Midwest Pro Wrestling Alliance is going to be in Milan, Michigan. If you guys ain't doing that, it's like 5 o'clock at the VFW. It's actually a benefit show to help them get a seawall replaced there on the property. So, yeah, and yours truly is going to be a special guest ring announcer for the evening. I'm real excited about that. So if you guys ain't got your Saturday evening booked, you got some time, ride out to Milan. Check it out.
Awesome. Looking forward to it, man. Looking forward to it. I'm sorry, did somebody call my name? Was that Brother Mateus?
Oh, no, I was saying cool to what Greg was saying.
Okay. Sound like you're saying Coco, baby. I thought you called my name. Like,
hey,
this is something you need me to do.
He was telling you. He needs you in Milan on Saturday. That's what he was telling you, Coco.
Oh, yeah. Man. I would love to be in Milan, but see, I got some. See, the black man is a pretty busy man, you know what I'm saying? Listen, now y'all got to remember, I'm putting all the strings. This birthday party is a whole year in the making, baby. So I'm running around and doing different things and have other things to tend to. And I want to attend some more wrestling shows this summer. I promise I'm going to do it. I promise I'm going to join y'all for a horror. What's that one show? Horror Slam. I'm going to come to Horror Slam with one of y'all one of these days. I got to get the stomach for it, baby. So, you know, I got to make sure I'm good and ready. But also, another thing here is, remember, y'all, we just about 3 weeks away, about a good 3 weeks away.
July 10th
from the
year.
From the one night only, 40th birthday bash for the Black Man Coco Seaware. I don't know if I sent y'all the flyer personally, but I'll make sure I send it to you. What's that now?
You only turn 40 once. I turned 40 in August.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's why it's
one
night only. That's right, baby. We hit that marquee year. That's right. That's right. We just beginning to live, Daddy. We're just beginning. And it's only going to get better from here on out, baby. My latter years is going to be greater than my former. You feel what I'm saying?
Woo.
I'm just hitting the stride.
Amen.
Hey. Can't wait. Like my man Bart Scott said, can't wait, man. Can't wait.
That's
nice.
That's right. Can't wait. I know exactly what you're talking about. So it's going down to Chinatown, baby, July the 10th.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, gentlemen. This special edition of the Deathmatch 313 inspired episode of the Rated R 313 Wrestling Podcast here. And, don't miss, our sponsored match Friday night at Horror Slam MM3 versus Uncle Chase. It's going to be fire, and it's sponsored by the Rated R 313 Wrestling Podcast.
See,
it's going to be
Greg,
the match of the night.
I'm going to put you on the spot right now, man. Like, you know you big time when you get to sponsor a wrestling match, man. Like, you guys are big time. Man.
We sponsored it. Our team sponsored it. And what other match would we sponsor? He's being led to the ring by Jeremiah Goldmane. And let me say, Jeremiah Goldmane might want to fight a legendary hockey player at XICW, kind of touched on it a little bit. So if you don't know, well,
no.
FIO, because, you know, if you look back in the very recent history of XICW, you'll know what I'm talking about and what the 24-karat lion's looking for. But he's going to lead MM3 into battle. But who else but the best in the fucking world in the 24-karat lion could we sponsor?
Yes, sir.
What other match
yes,
will
sir.
Be
sponsored? He is what's best for business, baby.
The main
and by
event,
the way,
I don't
can
care.
We tell brothers? Hey, I just want to know, sorry for interrupting, but can we please get Brother Jeremiah Goldmane on the Rated I 313 podcast one of these days. Can we make that happen? Because that brother is gold.
A few times. It's always a golden episode. Yeah, I will make the call. He is a very good personal friend of mine and actually business associate, actually. And so, yeah, I might have some vested interest in 24 Karat Productions, and they may have some vested interest in the Detroit Wrestling Connection here soon. We'll see. But absolutely, man, we got to have the 24 Karat Lion back on soon. He's doing big things. We can talk about he's managing Adam Wick and, you know, taking him and MM3 into the Proving Ground tour. We didn't get to talk much about that. I attended that show last Sunday, man. The draft, exciting as always. They just in time broke his tailbone. I don't know if you know that. But, yeah, that happened in his match with Mongo. So, unfortunately, he was out. Zach Thomas is in. Zach Thomas, another friend of the podcast, even though I give him shit. I still respect the guy a ton, and he's been a multiple-time guest. We're going to have him on in the near future. He's got to be one of the odds-on favorites to win the Proving Ground tournament here for Season 8. We got to get you out to XICW, both of you guys, man, the premier wrestling promotion, the longest-running promotion in the history of the state of Michigan.
Yeah, I love me some XICW, baby. I missed my chance. What was that? Last month, I missed out on the tickets. I went to sleep on it, and I should have been wide awake. They sold them bad babies out, and I was just done. I told Washington, baby, this is going to be the plan. After we come from church, we going to make our way to the Hot Rocks, baby, and we going to watch us some good old-fashioned wrestling, and then I thought, oh, it was too late. So you can't snooze or you're going to lose because you're right. That's a hot promotion, baby. They never, ever have a dull show. In the entire time I've ever been there, never a dull moment.
I could not miss Jonte Keith and MM3. I had to see that when they announced that match. I bought tickets and actually more people. I bought two and then I bought two more. And then, yeah, we ended up, a group of us went and we were sitting there. We didn't have a reserved table, and actually Johnny Delicious got us seats put right at ringside, and they actually made a row for us that didn't even exist, so we could, you know, sit front and center to catch the action. So shout out to DBA and Johnny Delicious and XICW for showing us love like that, man. We appreciate you.
Yeah, Johnny D is the man. When Johnny D sprinkles the dust on you, baby, you can only go to the top.
Man, Johnny Delicious is, I don't know, Jeremiah Goldmane is right there with him at this point, but for a long time, man, I've been a big Johnny Delicious guy. I got a shirt that says I'm a Johnny Delicious guy.
Hey, there you go. You know you're somebody. When you got to wear it,
When MM3 began to be managed by Johnny Delicious, it was not long at all from, you know, forming the Kira clan that he was the Midwest heavyweight champion and became, I believe, the longest reigning Midwest heavyweight champion ever.
Interesting.
So,
interesting.
Just to give you an
That's
idea. You know, same with Dre Jacobs. I mean, he's in most guys' top five of Midwest performers. Another Johnny Delicious guy. The, you know, Aaron O'Ryan and Jack Price, Johnny Delicious guys. Also, you know, Adam Wick, another Johnny Delicious guy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yep. Shout out. We got to have Johnny Delicious on the show. Actually, he's one we haven't had yet. But we definitely.
Man.
I call him the greatest mind in professional wrestling, Johnny Delicious.
I bet he is, man. And let me tell you, brother, that man's got a tongue as sharp as Bobby the Brain Heenan. I tried to trade Bob's with him one day, and it just did not work. That man had an answer. Every time I threw a shout out at him, he shot back too. I tell you, man, I said I'd leave that man alone because he'll put the black
so
man in a bad
job.
Place.
he used to jaw with my son when he was, when we started going. Bradley was like four, and he'd, you know, and at one point, probably three, four shows in, I said to my wife, I said, that guy could be on any four sides of this ring right now, and he's over here arguing with these kids, letting them know, I, like, your mom made me a sandwich this morning on my way out the door.
Oh, man.
I love Johnny Delicious, dude. I was like, you know what? This guy's fucking awesome. I like this guy. This is my type of guy. But, man, I've been a big fan ever since.
Absolutely. Interesting. Yeah. Great guy. Great business. So, hey, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to move on to this next phase of the evening. I'm going to grab my bass guitar, Penny Jean. I'm going to do some more practicing for this upcoming wonderful extravaganza we got next month. I can't wait to see you, good brothers. And just in case you didn't know, the Queen is probably going to give you guys a few more assignments on that day. So you best be prepared. Stay light on your feet, eyes wide open, because the Queen does not like to be held up. I just want you to know that right now.
I can't speak for Dede, but I'll be on time.
There we go.
We'll be there. We'll definitely be there and eager. You let me know if I got to tow the ring out there.
Gotcha.
Ladies and gentlemen, another fun night here on Open Talk Radio 313, The Flash, man, from my brother, Dede Martez, and my interim co-host, Coco. We love you, and God bless you, and we will see you next week. Peace.